We begin tonight with vital news about a man whose courage is inspiring. His name is Zaydoun El-Zawabi, and for more than a year on this program, he's raised his voice from inside Syria, raised his voice to counter the lies repeatedly told by the regime of Bashar al-Assad. For more than a year, this man, Zaydoun El-Zawabi, has defied the dictator, insisting on using his own name in interviews, talking about the crimes he has seen the regime commit. He's done this knowing full well that at any moment the regime that has killed and tortured and disappeared so many could simply choose to silence him. Months ago, I asked him why he was risking his life by talking, risking his life by insisting we actually broadcast his name.
When I chant, I want freedom. I can hear my voice for the first time in my life. Now, how can I give up this, even if it costs me my life?
Imagine that, a grown adult hearing his voice for the very first time. Well, 3 weeks ago, Syrian secret police arrested him and his brother, Sohaib. Today, we got great news. We learned that he has been freed. He says he became seriously ill during his detention, close to death, in fact, and was not given medical treatment. He is with his family tonight in Syria. His brother, Sohaib, though, remains in custody, and Zaydoun and his family fear for his safety. Zaydoun says he last saw his brother 8 days ago and that he was in good spirits. You can go to a Facebook page the family set up to get the latest on his brother's condition and find out how to try to help secure his release. A relative says Zaydoun thanks everyone worldwide, especially this program and our viewers, for keeping their story in the public eye, which we will continue to do as long as it takes, and we hope to speak with Zaydoun as soon as possible. Now, keeping them honest, the one true thing that we know about the gun debate here at home, that neither side has a monopoly on the truth or even the facts, because the facts can be so hard to establish. One side has studies linking gun ownership with violent death, but correlation isn't causation. The other side has research showing that when people are allowed to carry concealed weapons, violent crimes go down. Yet newer studies cast doubt on that conclusion. The bottom line, finding a way to study the problem and possible solutions to it would be hard enough, even if this weren't already such a pressing and emotionally charged subject. But it is. So with a shortage of facts, but a surplus of victims and anguish and loss, the debate so far has evolved into passionately stated, mutually exclusive, competing articles of faith.
The only thing that stops a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
Well, that one view, more guns in more places. Here's the other.
And when it comes to preventing future acts of violence in our schools, let me say this. More guns are not the answer.
That was Connecticut's Governor Dan Malloy. His view and Wayne LaPierre from the NRA, they each ring true to a whole lot of people. That's because each side can point to real-life gun incidents to prove their point. In a moment, the political state of play, and we'll talk also with General Stanley McChrystal, his view of military-style firearms and civilian hands. But first, Randy Kaye with two very different gun stories. Take a look.